Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. We have a very exciting program for you today with two medical doctors. One's going to talk about supplements you may want to add to your diet, and the second one's going to talk about worries you can avoid at middle age so you don't make yourself old before your time. But before I welcome my first guest, I want to invite you to visit our sparkling new Mark website, www.middleagerenewal.com. The address is the same, but just about everything else is new. First, we've added a brand spanking new Mark bookstore. Of course, it contains my two books, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up by Roy C. Richards, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. That's about re-energizing the business and organizations where you work and play, how we can get those jump-started and back on track. But it also offers a large selection of books by other authors, hand-picked by me. All are related to various aspects of midlife renewal for you and your career and business. We include books in five categories of special interest to those of us in our middle years. First, there's personal midlife renewal. Second, business leadership and career. Third is marriage, parenting, and relationships. And the books we offer concentrate on established marriages, recovery from divorce or loss of a loved one through some other means, a premature death or whatever, and mentoring preteens and teens. And a fourth category is exercise and nutrition, including dieting for those of us in our middle years. And the fifth category is spiritual connection, where we include books on prayer, meditation, and the afterlife, all fascinating topics of great interest to us as we pass through our middle years. And our bookstore includes the best of the best by outstanding guests on our prior programs over the past 2 years. And we also have thrown in a few classic self-help and motivational books by best-selling authors like Jack Canfield and Jim Collins. And our Mart store is a great place to find motivational books for middle age all in one place so that you're not scrambling around Amazon.com or the Internet looking everywhere for books of particular interest on our topics. We have them all here for you in one place. And you can purchase the books and preview them right through our website without running all around to do that. And here are a few of the other website features that we have. We offer 10 free videos of me discussing various challenges of middle age, many of which I went through myself. It's for yourself and your business and how you can conquer each of these challenges. Those are popular videos. I offer my popular blog on a wide variety of midlife topics, and I try to update it at least once a month with an article of particular interest. We have a speakers tab, and I'd love to speak at your next meeting or company event. Check out your choice of potential topics. I list a whole bunch of topics that I speak on, and I would love to speak to your group. There's a workshops tab, and my staff and I can design a half-day, full-day, or even a two-day workshop for your employees or members of your group, and it can be on topics related to individual and collective renewal and whatever topic of middle age that you might want us to prepare a workshop for. And a favorite is what we call a mental vacation for all employees, where each of your employees from top to bottom think about what they'd most like to be doing to earn a living, have a good time while they're earning a living, and then we put it all together into a corporate-wide plan of renewal for the organization in total, and that's a very interesting two-day or a day-long workshop. Contact me, and we'll design a workshop just for you. We have a broadcast tab where you can access all of the prior broadcasts of this program since we first came on the air in May of 2012. just pick a topic or a particular guest that you would like to listen to, and you can go through that list on the website and pick and listen into the program of your choice. You want more? Well, why not receive as a free gift my Middle Age Renewal Training mini course? All you need to do is just give us your name and email address, and we'll send it to you, and we won't bother you after that. But you will be eligible also to receive future insider newsletters that we will be sending from time to time at absolutely no cost to you. And let's become interactive. I'd love to hear from you with your questions or to learn of your own personal midlife renewal experience. So many of us have been sleepwalking through life and then have discovered that there is a much better life out there. And who knows, you just might want to be a guest on a future program. And we love to have people like you who have renewed their lives midstream and are happy to talk about it. Under the Contact Us tab, we have a direct communication box. We just fill in your name and send a message, and I promise I will respond. So check us out, that new website. It's the same address, but a new message. That's www.middleagerenewal, that's all one word, .com. Check us out today. We're very proud of our new website, and we hope you'll enjoy it. Now let's get on with our program. My wife, Gloria, is a very health-conscious individual. And back in 2003, she purchased the AMA's Complete Medical Encyclopedia, a 1,400-page, to quote the cover, A to Z guide to more than 5,000 medical terms with up-to-date information on symptoms, diseases, drugs, treatments, and more. And she has bookmarked at least 15 pages in that encyclopedia over the years. And I love my wife like crazy, and I'm pleased she is so health-conscious, but there is a downside. Like all of us, she occasionally experiences a fleeting pain or other minor discomfort, then runs to the encyclopedia, reads up on the symptoms, and stresses out, imagining the worst possible diagnosis. And today, in 2014, we are much more tech-savvy than we were back in 2003, so many of us turn to the Internet for medical diagnoses. How about you? Could that mole be melanoma? Is this persistent cough just a cold or something much worse? If you have ever gone online to diagnose yourself, your spouse, or your kids, you have plenty of company. A January 2013 Pew survey cited in USA Today disclosed that 35% of all Americans go to Dr. Google for medical diagnoses, and that's around 100 million people or so. And is medical research on the Internet a good thing? Well, it's obviously a good thing if research alerts you to contact a physician who then catches and treats a potentially life-threatening or debilitating disease in the early stages. But my guest says relying on Dr. Google can backfire, and he's here to tell us why. And my guest is Dr. George Kiritis, who is a board-certified family physician and a licensed clinical psychologist. And you may recall we had him back on our March 3rd program when he advised us on how to stop feeling tired. He is a most informative and entertaining guest, and I like everything about him except pronouncing his last name. Unfortunately, he is known far and wide as Dr. Z, so I'll call him that. And he takes a whole person approach to wellness, and he's author of three books, including the one we'll talk about today, Stop Worrying About Your Health, How to Quit Obsessing About Symptoms and Feel Better Now, second edition. And welcome back, Dr. Z, and taking time out from your hectic schedule to be with us.
Roy, it's an absolute pleasure to be on the air with you again, and I appreciate your intro. It's fantastic, and I love the summary you gave of what's essentially hypochondria and now cyberchondria, and I think you make some great points with that. Thank you.
Well, it's today's abundance of Internet medical advice and self-diagnostic tools actually increasing or decreasing health anxiety in America. It seems like it could work both ways if we find advice on the Internet that tells us a symptom we're experiencing is very common and normally not a cause for major concern. But I guess it works the other way, too.
It does, and there's days I feel like the 100 million people you mentioned have come to see me after having consulted with Dr. Google. I mean, this just happened the other day. I was sitting there, and I was looking at a child's a lesion on his head, and the mom was there with her smartphone consulting Dr. Google while I'm in the visit, you know, and throwing out this information at me while I'm you know, trying to concentrate on what's actually going on there in the exam room with the child. So
yeah,
it's a
internet site far away is far more capable of doing that than the physician right on hand looking at the child.
You know, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, you would wonder what's going on there, but I think the culture has really gotten into this whole mindset of instant information, and that whatever is on the internet is truth. And
fatal flaw a lot of us experience.
I think
so,
and
it must be true.
It's got to be true. Dr. Google must be right. And it's interesting because there's a lot of absolutely fantastic information on the internet, and I'm never against the concept of patients looking up things and bringing information into the visit, because these days it's just impossible for any one doctor to know everything. It's just not possible. So I actually appreciate when people are thoughtful and bring in some articles or bring in some extra information, but I think where the problem lies is that many of these folks are not trained medically, and it's just like if I went on, I'm not trained as a lawyer, and so if I go on the internet and you know, talk to Dr. Law and Order, you know, it's just not, you know, I'm not going to get the full perspective. I'm going to look at something and it's going to go through the filter of my experiences, and I'm not a trained attorney, you know, I'm not going to be able to look at things in the context. And unfortunately, this is what happens when a lot of people look up medical information. And, you know, I'm all for folks having access to information and being able to look at things on the internet and all that. But I think there's some limits, and it's important to consider those.
Well, can you give us a few examples of, like, everyday physical sensations that get experienced by healthy individuals that sometimes are mistaken for the onset of a major health problem or a life-threatening disease, when in fact they're not? Or there are certain things that, you know, people misdiagnose like that may not be a big problem.
Oh, sure. You know, there's many symptoms like that. Let's just take a common, you know, cough.
Yeah.
We all get a cough.
Yeah.
I had a cough not too long ago, and it was just an allergic pollen, dry throat sort of thing, and it just happens. A lot of people get colds, viruses, and we're getting ready to move into, you know, cold and flu season here in a few months. And so, you know, just people will get a common cough. What, you know, you can sit there and catastrophize and convince yourself if you look at some of these sites that you've got lung cancer, you know, or tuberculosis. And so we'll get very well-meaning folks coming in who've, you know, have experienced certain symptoms. They go to the internet, you know, they find a website or an app that they can, you know, plug in their symptom, and out comes, you know, potential diagnoses, and they panic and come in. A cough, you know, that's one typical example. By far, the majority of just simple coughs are just that simple.
Yeah.
They're not lung cancers, tuberculosis, you know, weird infections from, you know, odd parts of the world, things like that.
Especially if it goes away in a few days.
That's the thing, exactly. And, you know, many times that's the case. A lot of these things are viruses, and so you have to just ride them out for a few weeks. But people will go online, consult Dr. Google with their virus symptoms, and then be very convinced that they have this horrible infection that requires, you know, very specific antibiotics. And they come in and not just ask about it, but very frequently come in demanding these things. And so makes it a challenge sometimes. Exactly. It makes it a challenge, but it's, you know, I enjoy educating folks about things, and I certainly love having discussions with the patients about their concerns or their issues. But I think a lot of people are causing themselves needless distress, in looking up things and jumping to conclusions. But Roy, I'm going to tell you, here's the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
People who actually should be seen by a doctor,
yeah,
you know, or another provider, and they go up, look up their symptoms, and then
yeah,
they minimize it.
Yeah,
so they avoid going to the doctor. That's a far more complicated issue,
yeah,
and
far more
not a
dangerous issue, actually.
Exactly. And so we'll often find men in particular,
yeah,
who avoid, don't want to go to the doctor anyway, and who will avoid doing so by rationalizing that they looked it up on the internet and this clearly is nothing that needs to be tended to. So.
Well, in your book, you point out that obsession with disease can, in fact, lead to new unrelated symptoms. And what are some common symptoms that can be brought on by excessive health anxiety? I know you mentioned a few.
Oh, yes. It's interestingly, when people start to obsess about their health,
yeah,
they become very hyper-aware of the body,
yeah,
and will fixate on bodily symptoms that
yeah,
most of us don't even notice at all. And so, you know, these symptoms sensations can range from headaches to sweating to, you know, itching, you know, dandruff, just all kinds of things. But what'll happen, whereas you and I might look at these benign symptoms and say, yeah, you know, that's nothing. I've got dandruff. I just
yeah,
need to use my, you know, my dander shampoo.
Yeah.
Other people will look at it as some kind of, you know, horrific impending scalp, you know, disease that,
yeah,
that's going to cover their whole body. You know, so they'll really will catastrophize about
yeah,
this.
I know one thing it can cause is insomnia, which obviously doesn't help your overall health. Can't sleep tonight.
Exactly. And then there are all these articles out now about if you don't get enough sleep, you're going to have all of these health consequences. And so then people worry themselves while they're trying to sleep that if they don't sleep, they're going to have all these health problems. And,
like,
you know, so you get
it keeps getting longer and longer.
Exactly. Exactly. You get into this vicious cycle of anxiety and secondary anxiety. And I think really, you know, to answer your question, anxiety is at the heart of this whole thing because people really become concerned about the uncertainty of their health. And let's face it, no one wants to have a terrible, dreaded disease. But statistically speaking, you know, the vast majority of us do not, you know, experience that. Most of us have everyday sorts of things that are nuisances or annoyances and can range from, you know, fairly, you know, significant issues, but not at the frequency that hypochondriacs and cyberchondriacs and others, you know, assume is occurring.
Well, beyond creating stress and robbing us of the joy of living, I guess health anxiety actually can negatively impact our behavior and the quality of life, not only for us, but also for our spouses and the entire family. Can you give some examples of that? I know you had some in the book that you talked about, like the mom refuses to take her child to the park for fear that the child will be exposed to germs, and thereby depriving the child of fun socialization with other children and fresh air.
Exactly. And so then what happens, the child it becomes, you know, a sickly child.
Yeah.
And so you get you sort of end up with a self-fulfilling prophecy where
yes, right,
the over-concern about certain things then lead to outcomes that are, you know, not desirable. And
yeah,
everybody's well-meaning with this. The parents have every good intention, for example, in that case, and in certainly in others. But I think stepping back and you know, looking at the whole picture and like
yeah,
what's possible versus what's probable.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of need to live in the kind of what's probable area
yeah,
here versus
right,
just what's possible, because all kinds of things are possible, but
yeah,
not
like
very
the
likely.
A couple that refused to pass up a great vacation overseas because they're afraid they might contract Ebola while they're on the plane.
Exactly. So, you know, they're going into a completely different part of the world, you know, going to Japan and worried about Ebola. But it's, you know, there are concerns there. So is it theoretically possible that somehow somebody with Ebola got on the plane and spread? I mean, it's statistically possible, but it's not very likely. And so very frequently when I'm working with folks with these kinds of concerns, I have them step back and reframe their thinking to look at, like, what's the actual likelihood that this is going to occur, or that some negative outcome is going to be a result of their experience or behavior.
Well, that's kind of getting down to where the rubber meets the road. But if you find yourself obsessing over every common symptom or living constantly in fear of the disease, what can you do about it? Is it possible to conquer this high anxiety syndrome, as you call it, once and for all? And where do you begin?
Absolutely. One thing I'm going to say is that in terms of the cyberchondria, patients, people, whomever, really must limit the browsing behavior.
Oh, yeah.
Because people are just drawn to these sites and drawn to looking up this stuff, and then, you know, spend all night worrying about things, and then they schedule multiple doctor appointments, and they go in demanding all kinds of expensive and unnecessary medical tests. And this was a major issue when I was working at another county hospital, and because the patients weren't paying a whole lot because it was subsidized by the government and the county, they would come in, you know, saying, "I want to be tested for all cancers."
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, you know, that's not very practical.
Come out of my pocket, why not?
Exactly. It's, you know, the taxpayers are footing this, you know. Yeah. But so I would start with, you know, limiting browsing behavior and limiting doctor appointments and limiting requests for unnecessary medical tests. Next, I limit the reading and catastrophizing about drug product inserts. And this is another interesting phenomenon that I've encountered, are patients who get the drug inserts or the instructions that come with their prescription medicines. And these are all written by lawyers. They're not written by doctors generally. And so people will come in and they're freaking out about all of the potential side effects and all these things that might happen if they take this very, very, very common drug that I've prescribed that has an extremely safe profile.
Well, that's the ads you see on the TV now where they have about 5 seconds describing the benefits of the drug and the other 55 seconds describing all the potential drawbacks.
Exactly. My wife and I were watching one of these commercials the other night, and you know, when they're listing blindness, you know, uncontrollable flatulence in public, I was just going like, wow, why, you know, death, just everything. I was going like, well, why would I want to take that poison? You know,
it's an ad.
And that's an ad. Yeah, it's like we're trying to advertise, you know, something. Yeah. So, but statistically speaking, the many, many symptoms that those commercials list and that or the side effects that they list, as well as those drug inserts, are they're just really legal kinds of things.
Yes, so,
you know, people need to not get too freaked out about those inserts. And then finally, it's just I get people to reframe their, you know, their thinking about all this and their emotions and their behavior. And I think that's the key to the whole thing. That's my psychology background that I apply, you know, to my medical practice.
Yeah, I love your combination. You talk about lifestyle medicine and that you're not in the promotional material. You reject the common medical approach of a pill for every ill. How can you employ the power of the mind to bring healing to the body? That sounds too good to be true, although I know we've had other guests that talked about that. But how do you practice this lifestyle medicine, as you call it?
Right, and if there were just a magic answer, you know, you and I could, you know, hit the road with a lot of success. But Roy, it's difficult, and I tell my patients and you know, friends and family members, it's difficult. I mean, I wrestle with a lot of this too. There's no simple answers, but you know, the whole thing is we really as a society, I believe, have been sold on this concept that the answer to everything is a pill.
Yeah.
And the pharmaceutical industry, you know, we could talk about the politics, you know, involved in all that, and all, you know, that's a whole different discussion. But I'd say the medical training that most doctors receive is very much focused on pathology.
And so
whereas a lot of the other disciplines out there are focused on health, medical people are trained to deal with disease, and then what do you do about the disease? And so there's just a fundamental Weltanschauung, a worldview in medicine that that really focuses on pathology, and then the answer to that pathology is generally either a pill or cutting it out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, pills or surgery, and that's kind of the allopathic medical model. I'm very, very fortunate that my training in psychology exposed me to other perspectives and a much more holistic, whole body person to approach to these things. So I don't necessarily jump in with pills. In fact, most of my practice, I really try to hit on the concept of weaning off these medicines. I frequently get patients coming in 20 different medicines and that various doctors have prescribed, and so I really try to instruct them in ideas of lifestyle medicine and how to work on changing your lifestyle in order to get off some of these medicines.
Yeah, it's so important to understand that the real cause of the problem you may be experiencing, and it may be in the mind, and it may be something that happened years ago, like in your childhood or whatever, and it's so key that if you understand why you're doing something, maybe negative behavior or something that's impacting your health, if you understand why you're doing it, that's the first step to solving and quitting it.
Could not have said it better, Roy. Absolutely. And I know in the cases of health anxiety, a lot of these folks have had experiences with family members or early experiences, themselves with disease and various bad things happening. And, I've known of cases where, the only attention the child got from the parents who were very busy was when he or she was sick. And so this sort of secondary gain can take over in adulthood. And helping a patient look at what's going on, helping them have insight into why they feel so good when they get attention from being sick.
It's a handy excuse critical. If you can say you have a physical problem for not stepping up and taking responsibility for your life.
Exactly. Because who's going to really blame you if you're sick?
It's also self-rationalization for not being the person that you could be. We've talked about that before on this program too.
Many times, it's a very important concept. And there are a lot of people that truly they self-sabotage for whatever reasons, and they could become everything that they could become, except that they, for whatever reason, they're blocking that, and then in some instances, being sick or disabled or in pain or, tired or whatever it is, keeps them from, it provides a rationale for not having to take things to the next level.
Well, tell us a little about your new book, Stop Worrying About Your Health. How is the book organized? And, is it something I should sit down and read cover to cover? Or how do you go about approaching that book? What's the best way to...
Well, the absolute best way is to purchase a copy, and those are available. That was shameless self-promotion there. And also make sure 1,000 of your closest friends purchase a copy.
Yeah.
That would be truly excellent. But in all honesty, I like to write in a fairly succinct kind of to the point. I'm kind of a meat and potatoes kind of guy when it comes to writing. So the book is actually just over about 100 pages.
Oh, right.
And so it's an easy read over a weekend or a couple evenings, something like that. So I think it's I always kind of like to scan through something the first time around and then go back and pick sections and read more carefully. But I think it's really the kind of book that folks that are wrestling with this can, can either read through the whole thing, kind of get an overall picture, or they can, also spend time on some of the sections. I think the cognitive behavioral therapy sections of the book probably require a little more thought and a little more effort to get the most out of those chapters. But but overall, it it's been received well, and I hope it provides some help and some insights into this whole issue for those readers that either are suffering from health anxiety themselves or have loved ones who are suffering from the same.
What's the best place for somebody to go to preview the book or to purchase it?
It's available from our website, livingwhole.com. So livingwhole.com. Also available on lulu.com and amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com. So most of the online online bookstores have that available.
And Dr. Z has authored another self-help book on a fascinating topic I'd like to discuss with him sometime. Don't Let Them Psych You Out, Psychological Self-Defense for Dealing with Difficult People. And there's certainly plenty of them around. That's another very interesting title.
There's plenty of that to go around. And I would cherish the opportunity to be able to visit with you about that topic sometime, Roy.
Yeah,
just let me know.
Relationships, that would be that you put on your psychological hat, I guess.
Exactly. That one's got a lot more of the psychology of the whole the whole model that I use, how to apply that to all kinds of everyday problems as well as all kinds of difficult situations. What I've done in Stop Worrying About Your Health is I've taken that my approach and then have applied it to this particular issue. But the Don't Let Them Psych You Out book is a much broader look at the whole cognitive psychological approach to issues.
Well, let me tell you, Dr. Z is truly a remarkably talented and dedicated professional. Not only is he a prolific writer, but he also spends long hours diagnosing and treating patients in a small South Texas hospital. In fact, he's so busy saving lives that he was surprised last spring when I reminded him that his hometown San Antonio Spurs were in the NBA Finals. Now, that's dedication. And Dr. Z, thanks a million for returning to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. And best of success in sale of your 3 books and your psychological counseling and your bustling medical practice.
Roy, you're amazing and just a fantastic host and interviewer, and it's a great honor to be on your show. Call upon me at any time, and all my best to you as well as your listeners.
And we'll have to have you back to psych us out. Thanks a lot, Dr. Z.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Well, most of the time you maintain a healthy diet, including lots of fruits and vegetables. Do you still need to take nutritional supplements? Most of us don't relish taking a bunch of tasteless pills that sometimes get caught in our throats. And are they really doing us any good? How about those powders we mix in and make shakes that takes the shakes taste kind of like cardboard? Well, if you do decide that food alone is not sufficient, just which supplements should you take, in what dosage, and what specific nutritional purpose does each supplement serve? Dietary supplements are controversial, as many members of the medical community claim they're useless. Those people say that those of us who maintain balanced, healthy diets don't need all those supplemental pills and powders. But my next guest, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, takes a firmly opposing viewpoint. He contends that supplements can dramatically help you to live longer and better, but you obviously need to know which ones to take and how you should take them. And he tells us that one size does not fit all. Each of us has our own unique set of personal nutritional needs. And Dr. Smith is here to instruct how you can determine those needs and design your very own nutritional plan, one that's just right for you. And Michael A. Smith, MD, is the senior health scientist and online spokesperson for Life Extension, the world's leading organization dedicated to extending our healthy human lifespan. He's a highly esteemed blogger, creates and conducts webinars, appears in informational health and wellness videos. He's been a recurring guest on the Suzanne Summers Show on Lifetime TV and a number of other health-related radio and TV programs. He has his own weekly Radio MD radio internet program, and he's author of the brand new book, The Supplement Pyramid, How to Build Your Personalized Nutritional Regimen. I guess I got it right. And hello, Dr. Smith. We're honored to have you with us here today.
Hey, Roy. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I had a good supplemental breakfast this morning.
Oh, good. All right. Nice. Good start, right?
Well, let's begin with a basic question. At middle age, why do most all of us, even those who eat healthy and exercise regularly, still need to consider taking nutritional supplements?
Yeah, I cover this in the first chapter of my book because I think it's an important question. It's a question that I get a lot. You know, do I really need to take supplements?
Yeah.
And the answer just simply is yes. And I lay out in my book five scientific facts for why we need to be taking supplements. And these aren't Dr. Mike-isms. These are real facts that will demonstrate to you the need. The very first one, Roy, is the fact that even if you're eating a healthy, organic-based diet, you're getting your fruits and vegetables, our soils where these fruits and vegetables are grown are actually nutrient-poor.
Yeah, I'd never thought of that before.
Yeah.
But
well, you know, the first soil surveys were done by the United States government in the 1920s, and that's when they concluded that our soils were already missing a lot of these important minerals and nitrates. And guess what we've done since then to improve our soil?
Before we even got started with all this good stuff.
Right. And so, you know, we haven't done anything really to improve the soil condition. So we've been, you know, I still want you to eat the organic fruits and vegetables, right? That's still important. But a tomato today is simply not a tomato that it was just a few decades ago. So that's one reason. Other reasons, you know, just look at the kind of lives that we live today.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a very hectic way of life. The 24-hour, what I call information cycle, you know, we're watching news, we're on our smartphones, our iPads, you know, whatever. I mean, it just never stops.
Yeah, you point out in your book that only 11% of Americans meet the USDA guidelines for fruit and vegetable daily intake.
So is that, this is funny. So in your introduction, you mentioned that there are some doctors who think that if you eat a, you know, balanced diet, you don't need to take supplements. Boy, that's a huge assumption, isn't it, Roy?
Yes, sure.
Most people aren't even doing that, let alone, don't even worry about the poor soils. I mean, most people in this country are eating McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you tell me as a when another doctor tells me, well, if you eat a balanced diet, that right there, I just know, boy, they are really, you know, making a huge assumption. That's just not true. Hey, what about you know, another reason? So we got the poor soils. We have the fact that we're not eating the right amount of fruits and vegetables. We got chronic stress.
Yeah.
What about the toxins in our environment?
Oh yeah, that's,
I mean, we live in a different world today.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, when you put all these facts together, we do need to supplement our diet if we really want to optimize our health. And
it's,
I think,
amazing
that's
how you point out that we're even getting toxins from the plastic water bottles that are chemicals are leaking into our water, and the cans are, I guess the metal cans leak some stuff into our vegetables.
It's not even, you know, the industrial chemicals. You know, when you talk about toxins, people think of industry and stuff like that, but it's some of the basic stuff that you probably have right now sitting next to you, Roy, like that plastic water bottle. I mean, it's all of that. So, yeah, when you put it all together, I got to tell you, I think supplements are really necessary today.
Yeah. It's amazing that with all the advancements in agricultural science and in medicine over the past 50 years, we're probably eating less healthy today than our ancestors did in, like, 1940.
Yeah, so I call it overfed and malnourished.
Yeah.
We are, and as weird as that sounds, I mean, we are literally, we eat so much in this country, yet we have an increasing rate of malnutrition. We're obese, yet we're nutrient poor. It's weird, isn't it? But it's I mean, I think people can understand that we're when you eat fast food all day long, you may be satisfied as far as hunger goes, but boy, your cells, your tissues, they're just starving for these basic
nutrients. I'm going to cut back to only 1/4 pounder with cheese instead of two.
Oh, no. How about none, Roy?
Well, let's say you won us over. We want to begin or continue taking nutritional supplements. But the problem is we're bombarded continually by TV and Internet ads promoting the latest and greatest supplement we should take to lose weight, extend our lives, avoid illness, gain energy, whatever. How in the heck do you decide which pills you should take and how you should take them?
Well, listen, first of all, before you even worry about personalizing your choices, the first thing is there are four supplements that I think everybody should take, regardless of what you're going through. So everybody should be on a good multivitamin.
Yeah.
Everybody should be taking the omega-3 oils. Most people get that through krill or flax or even fish oil. Then the third one would be CoQ10. I don't know if you're familiar with that one, but
I take CoQ10.
Good, awesome. No, that's important for cell health and cell energy production. And then the fourth, I guess what you might call non-personalized product would be a probiotic. Those are the healthy gut bacteria that support all phases of digestion. So first of all, the reason I talk about the supplement pyramid is I break it up into three sections, and that bottom section I call the foundation, and right there, those are the four foundational products. Everybody needs to be on that. Now, once you got that going, Roy, we move up the pyramid, and this is the personalization section. This is where what we want to do is we want to line you up and suggest to you the supplements that have the best chance of helping you prevent disease, even treat disease, and help you live a longer life. So how did I do that? I went back to my clinical medicine days when I was working as an internal medicine doctor. If you came into my office, Roy, with a complaint, let's say chest pain, before I did any physical exam or any blood work, I would talk to you, right? Or your doctor should talk to you,
right? Yes, I hope so.
I would ask you all kinds of questions. I would kind of build a story, in a sense, that your body is trying to tell me. Well, I brought that same concept over to the supplements. I created – now, obviously, I can't speak with everybody personally.
No.
So the way I get around that is I developed quizzes.
Yeah, you've got quizzes in your book, I know.
Yeah. Yes, 16 quizzes. They cover all the basic body parts and, in some cases, some diseases like diabetes and cancer. And they're easy to answer, by the way. You just answer yes or no.
Yeah.
But what you're doing is you're telling me that story. And I collect all your answers. I give you a score for each body part. The higher the score, the greater the risk you have maybe for developing problems. And then once I know that score, I can line you up with the evidence-based supplement suggestions that are really going to be targeted just for you. So you're not going to waste your money on stuff you don't need, and you're going to really get the best bang for your money because you're going to be taking what your body is really asking for.
Yeah. And so there also, I think you mentioned in the book, is there a simple, like relatively inexpensive blood test that you and I can take to reveal the nutrients that our body lacks? Is that a possibility as well?
Once you do, I always suggest you start with the quizzes first because that kind of gives you the first level of personalization. Yeah. But once you've done that, then, I go in that same chapter right after the quizzes, I talk about blood testing. There's nutrient testing, amino acid testing, even just basic blood work, hormones.
Yeah.
That's an important one. So I lay out for you all these different tests that I do suggest. And if you decide to go through all that, which I think you should, it just builds another layer of detail to the personalization level of your pyramid. It starts with the quizzes, but then when you move into the testing and even the genetic testing that I talk about in the book.
You mentioned family history is key also.
Sure, and I can confirm that with some genetic testing. So all of the blood work that you might end up doing or even saliva testing, whatever way you choose to do it, all of that, Roy, it builds detail into your story. That means I can really pinpoint the supplements for you. But it really does begin with the quizzes. I think if more people just took these quizzes, we'd be able to save a lot of time and a lot of money because we'll at least lay out maybe three or four great supplements for them that their body really needs.
Yeah, and then you have like three layers, the the foundation, which everyone, most everyone should take, and then the personalization and the optimization. What's the difference between the personalization and the optimization level?
Yes. Great question. So the optimization, you know, I do work for a longevity company, Life Extension. I've been the senior scientist for about 7 years now. And we've discovered about seven mechanisms of why cells age. And so the top part of the pyramid, I offer nutrients to help maybe manage those aging mechanisms at the cell level. You know, for instance, I talk about hormones. I talk about resveratrol, protein intake. I mean, all of that kind of stuff might be things you do that just kind of, as the name implies, optimizes your regimen.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing about the pyramid. So you got the foundation, as you said. That's the most important layer.
Yeah.
And then the next most important layer would be the personalization, and then the top is the least important, and that's the optimization. So not only do you personalize your regimen with my program, it also prioritizes it for you, like what's really key for you.
That you show that in your book, where you show from most important up to least important.
Right. Well, you know, people,
kind of
what
the
happens,
frosting on the cake.
Yeah, well, you know, people, what I run into a lot, Roy, is people often, you know, maybe they run out of money or they just want to cut back, and they end up cutting out supplements that they really need, and they keep taking the supplements maybe they don't need quite as much. So by building your program this way from the bottom up, if you want to take out some supplements, you're going to take out the ones on the top of the pyramid first.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Well, I think once you read the book and it lays it out and we describe the pyramid to you, you'll get it, and it does make sense,
Just like if you're going to cut something out in your diet, it probably best start with the desserts.
Right. But unfortunately, people keep the desserts and they cut out the broccoli. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
And we don't want to do that. Well, they do that with the supplements. They'll keep some, you know, exotic mushroom extract, but they cut out the multivitamin. And that's backwards.
Well, tell us a little bit about your book, The Supplemental Pyramid, How to Build Your Personalized Nutritional Regimen, and it's co-authored with Sarah Lovelady. And is your book written primarily for medical professionals, or can average Joes like me understand it?
Roy, it's for average Joes just like you and my family and my friends. I really wrote this for the everyday, you know, supplement user or the person who's interested. Now, I've had doctors read this now, and they're using it in their own practice. They're giving
good
their patients
them.
The quizzes. So I think it does apply to professionals as well. But, no, it's really written for, you know, that person who understands the need for supplements and just doesn't know where to begin.
Well, is it kind of like a reference manual then of nutritional supplements, I guess?
It's really not about, you know, the details of fish oil or CoQ10 or vitamin C. It's more about whether you need that nutrient or not.
Yeah.
Now, I offer in the book, there's an appendix in the book where I describe in detail all of the supplement suggestions, the dosing, why you want to take it. So that information is there. The detail's there, but you don't really have to go there unless you really want to educate yourself on that detail. For the most part, it's really just about identifying your issues through the quizzes, and then maybe some blood work if that's what you want to do, and then taking those supplements that will address those issues that came out when you answered those quiz questions.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I don't really need to know all the medical details.
And you don't have to go there. It's there if you want it, but you don't have to go there if you don't want to.
Yeah, that's kind of like my computer. I don't really want to know how it works. I just
want it to work.
It does work.
You know what? You don't worry about the appendix in the back. Just skip it, Roy. Just go. Stick with the quizzes.
No, I'll let Steve worry about that.
Yeah, and also, if I could, real quick, all of the quizzes are available online, too. It's free. It's at mysupplementpyramid.com.
Mysupplementpyramid.com.
Right. So you can go there and take your quizzes, begin to build your regimen right there. And that site is sponsored by Life Extension. But there's no obligation. You can go there and just take the quizzes online as well.
Yeah, so that would that be the best place to go to preview and purchase your book, or should they go right to Amazon or somebody like that?
You know, I would encourage people to go to the website, mysupplementpyramid.com. You can purchase the book there. You can read more about the pyramid. You can even get started on the quizzes. I mean, obviously the book, if you purchase it, goes into more detail. But the book is available in hardcover, soft, or paperback, and then also it's in an ebook form, and you can get it there, Amazon, or even Barnes & Noble.
Oh, I see. Well, in conclusion, tell us a little about the organization you're affiliated with, Life Extension Foundation. It's What exactly is their charter and mission? I guess it's to extend our lives. And
well, yeah, that's exactly. It's to extend. It's not so much extending life. It's about it's extending the healthy human lifespan.
Yeah,
so we've been around since the about 1981.
We
are the world's largest nonprofit health organization when it comes to anti-aging research and supplement research. We've done over $125 million in the past 10 years in supplement research. Yeah, it's a lot. It's really good. And my job, I always kid people, Roy, I have the best job at the foundation. I get to teach. I get to write books and teach and do videos. It's a lot of fun. But, you know, my job is just to get the mission out, you know, what we're trying to accomplish, the research we're doing. It's really an educational foundation.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I notice you have a website for that. www.lef.org, a nice short.
Nice and short. LEF.org, it stands for the Life Extension Foundation.
Yeah.
And if you go there, we have protocols, blood testing. We do offer life extension products as well that support
all the
patients.
Yeah, I noticed you have over 350 life extension supplements and 2,000 trusted brand name products for sale.
Yeah, and every product that you see that you'll find at LEF.org really comes from that research. We always try to use the same extracts that were used in the clinical trials, the same dosing. So all of our products are all scientifically, formulated to match the research.
Well, I was impressed with it. It said somewhere in the website that you offer free consultation with a life extension health advisor. But how do you make an appointment for that if somebody?
You don't. All you got to do is call. It's
Let me give
the number for your listeners. It's 1-800-226-2370. You just call and you'll talk with fitness trainers, nurses, medical doctors, naturopathic doctors. Any question you have, it doesn't even have to be about nutrition or supplements. The foundation really started with our founders as an educational organization. So you can call and learn about labs you had. Maybe you got a diagnosis of something. And you just want more information about it. They're there to help you with any of that kind of information.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
Well, Dr. Mike,
just
by speaking with you here today and reading Amazon's look-in preview of your book, you've opened my eyes to the horrendous deficiencies in today's typical American diet and how each of us can counteract those deficiencies through what you call the personalized supplement pyramid plan. And the bottom line is that all of our talk on this program about midlife renewal and the joy of living in life's second half is all for naught if you're absent good health. And I encourage each of you to go to that website. What was that website again?
MySupplementPyramid.com.
Yeah, I would urge you to go there or to the www.lef.org website, and you can preview Dr. Michael Smith's book today or learn more about all those supplements that are available. And thank you so much, Dr. Mike, for your most helpful advice and best of success in the sale of the Supplemental Pyramid book.
Thank you so much, Roy. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
And tune in next week when we'll wrap up our series of programs on optimal midlife health, exercise, and nutrition. And thanks for joining us on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.